Welcome to Strength for the Journey. Thanks for joining us again. Strength for the Journey is a radio program designed to strengthen the believer for the days that lie ahead. We have a website at strength4thejourney.com. And this is radio program number 80 if you're listening by shortwave radio. Tonight, I don't have any guests. I'm here in the studio by myself. And I have some things that have been pretty heavy on my heart. Again, the Lord has been waking me up in the early morning hours with various words. And I want to discuss some of these words that the Lord has been speaking to me and kind of the common theme that seems to be running through each of these words. I want to mention before the program starts here about our tract order that we're about ready to try to put in the month of August. We are going to try to get as many chick tracts as we can possibly get out into the hands of people or actually want to try to get them stocked up. I've heard there's some Bible publishing companies that are being sued because of the content of the Bible that bring convicting messages to the sinner. And so there's a lot of things that are happening, and many strong publishing companies that preach the truth could be considered at one day that this hate literature. And so we want to take advantage of every opportunity to get as much in our hands as possible so that we can pass them on to others. And so this is our goal, to get at least 10,000 or 100,000 chick tracts delivered down to Panama in various languages, English and Spanish right now at this point in time. And if you'd like to donate to this, there's a place there on the homepage of Strength for the Journey that you can go to, and you can mail a check directly to Chick Publications. There's an account number there, and we appreciate all your help. I want to share a little bit about tonight about some of the things that have been, the Lord has been speaking to me. One of the words that I got here a couple of days ago, again, it seems to be the theme, much of it has to do with the preparation of us. And a lot of it tends to be about the fact that we think that we're more ready than we are. And this is the word that he gave me. It says, so many are so ill prepared for what is to come. They think they are something that they aren't, and they have a relationship with someone they don't. So many aren't prepared. Just as the foolish virgins, these overconfident people won't realize the truth until it's too late. For overconfidence is merely a manifestation of pride, and pride is a result of a man or a woman who refuses to deny themselves. My word has never changed. No man can be my disciple unless they deny themselves. No man. This is the first and foremost, the final act of disqualification. I didn't disqualify them. They disqualified themselves. All men must play by the rules. They must live by the book. All must finish the race. He that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. There are no shortcuts. Do you not believe my word is true? I must perform every word, because I am bound by my word. It is an oath unto myself. Is not your word the same? For those who said they would give me their life and their heart, did you really mean it? Did you really give me your whole heart? Who have you really been living for, yourself or me? Are you really living for me? Search your heart this day and find the honest truth, for the day of reckoning is near. I am the Creator. I created time and am in complete control of it. Fall upon the rock and be broken, or the rock will fall upon you and you will be crushed to powder. You have nearly slept through your watch. I am giving many their final opportunity to check their lamps. The bridegroom is coming. Oil will be a precious commodity in that day. For those who lack oil, it will be too late to buy, and no man will give you their own. Each and every man is responsible for his own oil. If any man denies truth, they deny me as well, for I am truth. Wake up and take inventory of your life. The auditor is coming. The harvester, a harvest is about to begin. Are you the grain or the chaff? I know, but do you? One of the themes that I keep seeing in much of these words is about time, about the lack of time, that there's a shortage of time to do what we need to do. We need to search our hearts and find out really what's inside of it. And I have found one thing about leaving my comfort zone that I found a lot of things that were in my heart I didn't know were there. And it's like going into a bake cycle, is that things get revealed when they get tested or when they get heated. And one of the things that I really found is that it's just like anything. You don't really know what's inside of you until you get tested. One of the things I believe that the Lord gave Judas the bag. In other words, he was like the treasure of his ministry. The Lord loved Judas so much that he wanted him to see who he really was, that every time he dipped his hand into the bag, that he could realize that he was wrong. He wasn't right with the Lord. And these times of testing are for us to pass the test, to realize that maybe we're not as ready as we thought. And the Lord has his grace takes us one step at a time, that he begins to reveal things a little bit at a time so that we can deal with them. And the biggest problem comes when we don't deal with what is revealed to us. And the way the Lord showed me this one time was, I was driving down a highway one time, and he spoke to me and he said, "Your walk with me is like that man over there picking up trash on the side of the road." There was a guy with a bag and he was stuffing trash in his bag, and he said, "Look, you didn't pick up a piece of trash here and then walk way over there and pick up one and come back over back again this way and pick up another." He starts walking and he picks up what's at his feet. He said, "That's all I require out of you. You're only required of what's at your feet. What have I shown you? What has been revealed to you? That's all you're responsible for. There's things way ahead of you that you don't even know about yet, and you're not responsible for them until that point when you see them, when they're revealed to you." So I realized that this walk is just with him is just a step-by-step process, and that he's trying to clean up our lives one step at a time, but that we have to be obedient and have the desire to want to clean up our life. Because that's really where the bottom line is that, do we really want to know our true nature, and do we really want to know the truth? You know, one of the things that keeps coming back to me is that the Lord is truth, and that if we hunger for the truth, if we love the truth, it's really that we love him, that we really want him in our life, if we want truth in our life. And I've never seen a time like now, ever in my life, that I've seen people either gravitate toward the truth or deny the truth. There are many things that are happening in the world today, and many people maybe not like what they see, but it's like they feel more comfortable with their head in the sand and not hear about it than they do about knowing the truth, that they can do something about it or make changes that need to be made or make decisions that need to be made. And one of the things I've always realized is that no man can make good choices without good information. And the best information all of us can have is the truth. You know, if somebody were to give you directions to go somewhere and they gave you false directions, you'd never get to your desired destination. So we have to have right information in order to make right decisions. And right now, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He's always been the Spirit of truth, and he's trying to lead and guide us into all truth. But we have to hunger for the truth. One thing, another word that I got here maybe a week ago was, it started this way. It says, "A man can tell another man the truth, but God must reveal it. For many have handled the word of God deceitfully for gain, because they love not the truth. These deceivers are clouds without rain, making empty promises that will never be kept. They tickle the ears of the simple-minded, too lazy to dig for the truth themselves, because those hearers are merely looking for a free meal. The welfare state of America began with a spiritual welfare state. When America began to become a people that would rather have someone else spiritually feed them, the welfare state began. Now, 50 years later, the trough eaters have been fattened for the slaughter, and the slaughter is about to begin. Are you a welfare state recipient? Do you go to church to be fed? Are you the church that feeds? Or do you merely, if you merely go to church to be fed, you are a welfare state recipient. If you aren't already full when you go to church, you'll likely eat whatever's on the menu. If you aren't already in love with the truth, a lie can be mingled with the truth, and the result will always be deception. The narrow road will be broadened, and before you know it, you're on the path to destruction. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. You won't realize your life is filled with leaven until the time of testing arrives, and by that time, pride has become so set that you cannot repent. Go to the Gospels and compare the Good Shepherd's voice with your shepherd's voice. Do they sound the same or do they sound different? Is your shepherd's voice as challenging as mine? If you find I'm not your shepherd, trust me that I may lead you. I will lead you to green pasture. I will lead you from your brown grass to green grass. I will feed you during the time of famine. The time of famine has actually already begun. Are you not yet hungry? If you don't hunger for the truth, a lie will satisfy. Only those that hunger and thirst after righteousness will be filled. I can only feed the hungry. The full will never come to my table. You must be poor in spirit to recognize your need. Examine your life today to see if you're really mine. If you are really filled with trust and faith, you will need to be so filled with trust for the days that lie ahead and that are soon to arrive. Now is the time to check the oil in your lamp, because darkness is about to arrive. Only my truth will light your path and give you the ability to see in the dark. Are you ready? Are you really ready? The darkness will arrive whether you're ready or not. If you go back and you read the story of the foolish virgins, I believe it's chapter 25 of Matthew, you will find that the foolish virgins thought they were ready. They thought that they were just sleeping away because everything was good, and they were ready for that moment that the call was made. But they found out once they got to the door that they weren't really ready. And there's no do-overs in this life. This is a one-time deal that we have to be ready, because if we're not, that's an eternal destiny that is at stake. So now's the time that we all need to really check our lamp to really see, do we have enough oil? I don't know if you've ever had a time when maybe the power went out in your house and you weren't expecting the power to go out. And you go and you grab your flashlight and the batteries are dead. But you didn't know the batteries were dead until the moment you went, the lights were already out and you needed that flashlight. And I believe it's going to be much like that for many people, is that they won't realize their flashlight batteries are dead until the lights go out. And one of the words the Lord gave me a while back was that is that the time zones are changing, that we have entered daylight saving, or we've exited daylight savings time and are now on nighttime saving zone. And it's essentially what he was showing me was that the nighttime saving zone was the day, the time of the night when darkness arrives. And he said, without my light, no man can see. They will stumble in the dark because it's a new time zone. And this was about the time back last fall when the time zones were changing. And I believe that we've entered into that time now that we have to have the light of the Lord in our life right now, because there's going to be a time that decisions need to be made with great wisdom and discernment. And many of us have really, we've gone to church and we believed whatever the pastor wants to tell us, the doctrines of the church. And we haven't really gone into the Gospels for ourselves to really see what did Jesus say. I've got there's a number of pages that I've written in a journal that I've never even posted or written articles from, and I'm about to write an article called Default Jesus, that we all have to go back to what did Jesus say, that what were his words, because those are the words that really matter. Sure, we can debate theological discussions of Paul's letters, but really what it really boils down to is what did Jesus say? What were his words to us? Because he's the door. There is no other person that we have to go through to enter the kingdom. It's his kingdom. We got to play by his rules. And he made the parameter and the guidelines for entering the kingdom of heaven. And we have to follow his words, because he's the one we'll have to stand before one day. So I encourage you to go back to the Gospels and really examine the red letters. Really examine what Jesus said, because his words were very powerful and they were very strong. And, you know, there's many people today I'm seeing right now, as the Lord has been calling a number of people out of their comfort zone. And they're having to make tough decisions, whether they're deciding to leave the country or go on a mission trip or whatever, or maybe God's saying time to forsake all. Maybe it's time to go. And many people right now are having a hard time letting go of what they have. That really, these times right now, we're revealing where our security is. Many times, you know, we've come to the point where we have worked hard. We want to retire one day. We want to enjoy the latter days of our life. But really, what is it all about? Is this what we've lived our life for? Is just to enjoy our own life, or really pursue the will of God in our life? Another word the Lord gave me here a while back was regarding some of the deception, I believe, that is in the church today. And, you know, you can debate whether the rapture is going to happen before the tribulation or after. And in many ways, you know, the Lord's going to come when he decides to come. It's not up to us. And if we were to say, well, I believe he's going to come before the tribulation, well, if you were to try to preach that message over in Syria and Iraq right now, they'd say, I'm sorry, but that's not the truth, because we're already in tribulation right now. You know, we're all having our heads cut off for believing the truth and preaching the truth of the gospel. And so I this word came to me the other morning. It says the doctrine of the pre-tribulation rapture has cost millions of Christians their soul, because the foundation of their walk with me was based upon a way out rather than a way in. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. No man will do the will of my Father until they pursue the will of my Father. A way out mentality will nullify their pursuit. A way out mentality will cause a potential disciple to stay on the shore of life and never strive for the other side. They will never encounter the contrary winds to strengthen their faith in me. They will disciple and duplicate others with the same faithless mindset, and it's impossible to please me without faith. How will that man hear the words at the end of his journey, well done, thy good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord? The end of that man's journey will not be filled with joy, but only with sorrow and regret. So quit looking for a way out and start looking for a way in. Cast your boat from the shore and set yourself for the other side. That is where I will meet you. You will know you're heading in the right direction when you encounter the contrary winds of persecution. For persecution has always been the trademark of those who are truly living for me. I will strengthen your faith as you continue to row through those winds, and you will be strengthened to endure the days that lie ahead. Many of those who consider themselves mine will lose faith because they are ill-prepared for the testing that is soon to arrive. Now is the time to strengthen what remains. Now is the time to pursue a way in rather than a way out. So what will it be? Are you in or are you out? That choice must be made before the storm arrives. When I began to write this word, I never really thought about much about the way out mentality. But really, when Jesus was asking various people to follow me, they had a way out mentality when they made excuses. They were trying to figure out a way not to follow the Lord rather than to follow him. You know, really, when you boil down to the truth, we'll all figure out a way to do what we want to do. And really, we have to pursue the will of God in order to do the will of God. We have to seek after God's will for our life in order to find God's will for our life. If we don't really pursue that direction or his will, then we'll never find it, because we really don't have a desire. Everything has to come from our desire, from our heart. And so this is where everything begins, is inside of our heart. And I feel like the Lord has really been saying that this is what we all have to examine right now, is examine our heart. Because we're living in days right now when there's much deception. There's much deception in the media. There's much deception in the churches. Most churches today, frankly, are being built upon comforting words. That if they were to give the really hard words of the gospel, they would probably lose half their church the first Sunday. And, you know, frankly, Jesus wasn't looking for big crowds. And if you look at that example, you can find it in John chapter 6, when he had a huge following. He fed several thousand, and they all were following him for another free meal. And when he looked at him, he said, you aren't here because of the miracles. You're here because of the food you ate yesterday. And he began to talk about himself as the bread of life, and that he that talked about eating the flesh of the Son of Man and drinking his blood, if you didn't do this, you had no part in me. You have no life in you. And at that point, many people turned, disciples, it says, turned and walked away and no longer walked with him. You know, I look at almost like that was the thinning the herd moment that Jesus said, you know what, I got too many people just following me for the wrong reasons. And so I'm gonna give them a meal that maybe they might not want. I'll find out who really wants to follow me. And he turned to his 12 after he said those words and those other disciples walked away. And he said, are you going to leave me too? And Peter pipes up and says, well, Lord, where are we going to go? Only you have the words of life. And, you know, if you really look at what Peter said, it makes more sense that what he was talking about, eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, he was talking about himself as the words of life, the truth, that we have to hunger for the truth and not let it go and not walk away because of offense or a hard word, a difficult word. We have to hunger for it no matter what Jesus has to say to us. And I know the Holy Spirit wants to speak very strong words to all of us right now because he's trying to prepare his bride. I believe this is the message right now, is that the time is coming. He's coming for his bride. And honestly, most of us aren't ready. Every day, if we're not pursuing a closer walk with him and asking God to search our hearts and expose, just like David did, search my heart and see if there's any wickedness in me in leaving the path everlasting. If that's not our heart, then I just question about whether we are really his. I had a word back in August of last year, and I just want to read this. It was, my life is offered to those who are willing to give up their own. I will not marry a prostitute, for the love of this world is enmity with me. I seek those who love me, not hate me. Who would marry someone who hates them? Would you? If you marry this world, you have chosen your mate, not only for this life, but the life to come. You must divorce this world now to marry me. I will not commit adultery. For the love, those who love their life in this world will lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will save it. You cannot have it both ways. It's either me or this world. You can't have both. Choose this day who you'll serve. If your soul longs for me, live like it. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If your treasure is in the things of this world, your heart will be in this world, and your eternal destiny will be in the heart of this world. If your treasures are in heaven, then your heart will be there also. That is how you give me your whole heart. This is the difference between those who have truly given me their heart and those who have not. Those who truly love me and those love me in word and deed. Are you among those who love me with their mouth, but their heart is far from me? If your heart is far from me now, it will be far from me forever. Repent, therefore, and return to me with your whole heart, and I will forgive you of your adultery with this world. If you do not repent, all adulterers will have their part in the lake of fire. Cleanse your heart, you sinners, and purify yourself from this adulterous generation. This is a choice that must be made. I will cleanse you once you make this choice. If you choose this world, the God of this world will be your bride, and you will go with him to his destination. Divorce him now and come away with me, for this is the purpose of your creation, to be with me. What is your destiny worth? What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? The consequences of this choice will be unbearable. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Love the truth, and you'll have life as well. To love the truth is to embrace the truth and the author of truth. To love a lie is to embrace a lie and the father of lies. Divorce him now and come away with me. Let go of this world and the things of this world and come away with me. Judgment is coming upon this world and all those who embraced it. Let go of it, and it will let go of you. Let go, for the reapers are coming. Once a soul is reaped, they are the bride of whom they have served forever. Let go, for the world has a grip on many. You must let go of it for it to let go of you. Many are lovers of pleasure and comfort, and not lovers of me. Deny yourself means deny yourself, for you cannot be my disciple and follow me unless you deny yourself. If you do not deny yourself, you have chosen to love yourself more than me, and you cannot be my disciple and follow me if you love anyone more than me. If your possessions mean more to you than me, then you can have them. But the price to keep them will be much more than the price you paid to get them. Let go, for the time is short. The wedding bells can be heard in the distance for those who have ears to hear. Those who follow me have ears to hear. Follow the sound of the bells, for this is why you have been following me. This is the destiny and purpose of your following, to arrive at my wedding. These are those who have paid the price to follow me to be my bride. This will be their eternal reward for those who gave up their life in this world to receive life in the world to come. I know the Lord is speaking to us right now to let go of what has gripped us. It's interesting that the grip that the world has on us is the grip that we have on it. That if we will let go of the things of this world, the world will let go of its grip on us and on our hearts. And this is the way that we can truly follow Him, if He'll let go. And this is why the rich young ruler couldn't follow the Lord, because his heart was gripped by the things that he had in his hand and he wouldn't let go of them. And whatever it may be that's gripping your heart right now, the Lord wants to be first place. And he's not going to play second fiddle to anything or anyone. So this is the time to let go. God has a plan and a purpose for each of us. And that plan ultimately is to be with Him. And He's looking for those that love Him as much as He loves us. And we can't love Him back unless we receive His love first. We have to receive His love to give His love back. Because, you know, the Creator, when He designed us like Him. And if we desire to be loved, He desires to be loved too. But He wants His love, His unselfish and unconditional love, returned back to Him. So we have to receive it first. So thank you again for joining us on Strength for the Journey. Again, our website is strength4thejourney.com, and we'll see you next time.